Hey everyone, stay positive number 11 is here. Oh my god, that's 1-1 for all the math whizzes out there. I don't know, that doesn't make sense, but look, I'm Sierra. Thanks for coming back, as I always say. You know, thanks for sticking around. Couldn't be possible without you listeners out there. But hey, that sounds like a really radio thing for people to say, like, you know, public radio. I don't know. I really wanted to do radio when I was a kid, and I would put a baby monitor. I wasn't a baby, okay? I was at some point, but at this time, I was like 11, 12, far past baby stage. But I put a baby monitor that was left over, I guess, from when I was baby, in one room, and then the other room, and I would talk into it as if I was broadcasting, but to nobody. No, nobody was in that other room, you know? So guys, as always, I have a lot of stand-up shows. If you're in the LA area, you know, come check them out. I post them to my website, which is just my name, sarahcotto.com, as they say. And also, Harvest Moon is back. So the next one's going to be on April 17th, same place, Laces Bar in Koreatown. Again, check my website for more information. You know, I'll keep plugging it on this podcast, so don't go anywhere, you know. I wasn't going to talk about it because I'm not yet done reading it, but I'm reading this really good book right now that I think is in theme with this podcast, because it's kind of about just ways to rethink anxiety and depression. It's a statistically real thing that anxiety and depression are high, in like at an all-time high among people, among young people, among, you know, Americans specifically. So anyway, so there's this book called Lost Connections by Johan Hari. They are not sponsoring me. I am purely a reader. Again, I'm not actually finished reading it. I have a couple chapters left. So, you know, if the last couple chapters are like, oh, and then give up and die in a hole, then I don't condone that. But so far, it's been very positive. It's kind of cool because it makes you rethink, like, okay, what are the ways to help pull yourself out of a rut in looking at depression in like a societal way? I don't know. I don't want to give it all away. You know, hashtag spoilers, right? It's Game of Thrones season. But no, the book is cool. If you guys are into reading, check it out. Or not. Honestly, I'm a slow reader, but this book went really fast because it was just that fascinating. So check it out. It's called Lost Connections by Johan Hari. Today's guest is a friend and a comic. He's hilarious. I met him on, I was working on the show Drop the Mic, which was on TBS. I think it's on TNT now. Obviously, it's important. But that show had a lot of comedy writers in the writing room where, you know, everybody writes raps. And he was a writer. And he was always like such a ray of sunshine. You know, we were always joking around. He is also a stand-up comedian. He's done a lot of really prestigious things. He did the Just for Last Festival. He did Last Call with Carson Daly, which will soon be a little late with Lily Singh. Exciting times. He recently talked about taking like a 3-month break from comedy and career and stuff, which I thought was very refreshing and also like courageous. Anyway, here's my chat with Joel Boyd. All right, now we're recording.
Hey.
Hello, welcome, Joel. Thank you so much for coming on down to Echo Park.
Thank you for having me. It's a very interesting neighborhood you have here.
Oh yeah. Wait, so what direction did you come in? Was it that
I was in Hollywood. I stay in Hollywood. It's horrible. I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, okay. What part of Hollywood?
I live like the Franklin Village.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you know, or like UCB
it's
Franklin.
Not too far. And, yeah, but I see.
Yeah. I actually live on a very interesting block because I live across the street from the Celebrity Church of Scientology.
Oh, so right there.
Like right there.
You can easily become a Scientologist then.
Very
you have
easily.
To turn on the
I'm not gonna do it.
You're not?
I don't ever want to go in there, man. I've seen the documentaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
But the Celebrity Center, it's pretty flashy.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Where I'm at is like I want to be invited. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like I don't know. Like one day I would like to get the invitation to join the Illuminati just so I could be like, guys, I'm flattered. Really though, no. But send me the gift basket.
The gift basket. I'm sure that's how they do shit.
Hopefully it's not, like drugged or anything.
Ooh, yeah, I wouldn't eat anything in the gift basket. But
right. Damn.
At least you'll have it. You put it on display.
That's part of the fun.
But yeah, I mean, and then you come out this way and it's just no Celebrity Center, just parks.
Yeah.
Dodger Stadium.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very large park. I felt like, maybe it would look good and better in the daytime. I was afraid.
I mean, Yes, it's not lit, you know?
Yeah, there's like no lights, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that. But also, I was in an Uber recently where the driver who was like from out here, so obviously it's changed over time. Gentrification's a real thing. Crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Echo Park being like the poster child for it in many ways. But he said that he would go out into that park and there was like a cloaked man that would like follow him and his brother.
What?
And I was like, oh, that sounds like maybe not good.
A cloaked man? Who owns cloaks?
Like, ran. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was a silhouette and the guy was just wearing like a jacket.
Oh my God.
Cloaked man, and then they ran really fast and they got away. So, and then he lived.
This is like a movie from the 40s. What is.
I mean, exactly. Who's. And so I've just been terrified of. I mean, I'm sure the cloaked man has moved on to other parts.
Yeah. But, he's got new cloaks.
Yeah. New cloaks.
He's got new places to cloak.
Yeah. So it's great. But yeah, I'm glad I got to invite that on you so that you feel safer.
So now when I go back to my car. You'll be on cloak watch.
Yeah, definitely.
There should be. It's like you guys don't have neighborhood watch. You have
cloak just watch. Cloaks. Yeah, except for the neighborhood watch logo is a man in a cloak. No.
Oh wait, right? Yeah, you're right. That's where what came first.
Sure.
The chicken or the egg? With that one, I don't know.
Who knows?
Was it cloaks
or
were they?
The other cloak.
Why else would you wear a cloak?
Mainly for
crime.
It's like
come on, man.
First, they've got any like thrift store where they sell cloaks. They've got like camera on that.
Like you might as well. Has anyone paid for a cloak?
right.
You rob a cloak.
You got to do it all in one go. Yeah. Exactly.
It's the beginning. Oh, why are we selling these cloaks?
yeah. Dang, they don't really turn a profit. But they're creating a lot more criminals.
Horrible investment. Horrible.
But I mean, okay. So the last time I saw you. Well, not the last time I saw you, probably, but how we met was on Drop the Mic.
Yeah.
You were a writer. I was writer's assistant.
Good times.
Wrote some sick burns for the celebs.
Some awesome burns.
Celebs, yeah.
Some great ones.
But other than that, you're obviously a stand-up comedian, a actor, comedic actor in many ways. And I also, the last time I actually did see you was on a Hidden Valley Ranch commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Folks.
That was my face.
That was great.
Slurping rant. No, I'm just playing.
It was really fun, too. Like, whoever came up with the idea. And
it was
then
so dumb.
Cast you. Also brilliant.
Yeah, it was actually a really funny audition because I'm a huge fan of Scrubs, and Zach Braff directed the spot.
No way.
Like, for
real.
Okay,
I guess I missed that.
It was
funny.
A very weird, like, manifestation of, like, literally Scrubs was, like, the reason I got into the industry, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, it was my favorite show in high school. Yeah. So I walked into like the callback audition and it was just like Zach Braff just like chilling with like a whole couch of other like executives. And I was like, oh, shit.
So and then what up? So you didn't know he was because I don't even know if I knew he directed. So I would be totally.
Yeah, he directs a lot of things.
Okay.
I think that's mostly
that's
what he does now.
Okay, fair.
But yeah, that's like I think that's part of the game of Hollywood. You know, it's like. They don't tell you who it is.
Like, so are they going to react to
you?
Yeah, cool.
And I'm like talking to one of my favorite people of all time.
So what do you do in that moment when you see – are you like pretty chill with celebrities now or you feel like
– I think from working on that show, you know, it that was my first job in Hollywood. So it was like – I don't know how you felt, but yeah, how do you feel around like celebrity
– I feel like I mean, I guess it depends on the person, right?
Yeah.
But then I feel like I still don't really know how to react, but that might just be me and people, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how to socialize.
More of these humans.
Yeah, what's that about? So
I think it does depend on, you're right, like who it is. Because some people you're surprised how you felt. Like,
sure.
There were some people where I was like, oh, okay, that was kind of weird meeting that person, but no, I'm cool. Like, you know, it's like whatever. And then there's some people who I was surprised I was starstruck by.
Yeah, who?
Like Marlon Wayans, because I wrote his sketch. I was one of the writers on set for his sketch. Right. So I was like literally pitching jokes to Marlon Wayans.
That's crazy.
And I was just like, I didn't realize how much I grew up on his, like the Wayans, like those movies.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Mr. Marlon, oh God. Okay, I get paid to do this. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Especially somebody who is a comedian and so would also be able to judge based on that, you know.
And really it's gonna make he made everything I pitched like 10 times better.
Oh, really? Nice.
You know, because he's him.
Sure.
So it's like
that's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very weird. Because it's also like a cool thing about that job too. I realized like my first year there was like. there's so many different types of celebrities. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the ones who, it's like, you get to see who interprets, however each celebrity interprets what that means, like, to be a celebrity. Because some people will come on the show and it's just like, they were like so down to earth and like just didn't have an ego. And we're like, I think Gina Rodriguez was one of my favorites.
Oh, cool. So that was before I was there.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So that was like the first year.
Yeah. But she was one of my favorites. That's awesome. Because she was like, she had her door open. Like, literally her whole team was in there. It was like a day party. It was weird. It's like she had like a whole plate of fruit, and she's like, "Who? Anybody hungry? Who want to eat something?"
Wow. It was okay. Just like, so "Who's?
Thank you guys." Oh yeah,
that's like a
I was in love.
Scary thing where you're like, "Oh my gosh, what if they're just really cool on screen and had to do an interview, but then they're the kind of person who shuts their door, or whatever."
Right. So that's some awesome. People keep their yeah. Who was very secretive? Vanessa Hudgens' team was very secretive.
Okay.
I feel like all those Disney star, you know, people are kind of like really protective of their.
So I was also very surprised. I mean, it makes sense now, but Raven, I was like really starstruck.
Yeah.
I didn't even get near her, but I just like even threw the sliver of the door. I was like, oh, Raven.
Oh my God. But her that's team, so
right? Yeah, that is so right. Her team was the one who was like, oh, we need to keep this like G-rated. She's on, have you heard of it, Disney Channel right now? So make it for the children. Don't address anything surrounding anything sexual, like nothing. And then she came back writing her own, and it was like way more
extreme. Yeah.
Also like very funny, but it was just
hilarious. Was like everything like, oh, short of like straight up with the big guns. I think what is she came at
Ron Funches.
Ron Funches. Right? Yeah. I forgot what she said to him, but it was a couple of them. I was like, damn, Raven. Okay.
Yeah, there was like a lot of, you know, her being more famous than Hugh.
Yeah. And I think she said something like, I get more bitches than you. I think she said something. It was something in there.
It was like hilarious, but I think we tried to, trying to say something like that before, like, I'll steal your girlfriend or something.
Right.
And they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
We do not talk about anybody's sexuality on, you know, like or something. It was weird.
But then she said it.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, well, I mean, obviously that's fine. But I think like teams are handling.
Right.
We're handling everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So Zach Braff.
That was a good time. But yeah, Zach Braff, that was cool. That was very cool. I forgot what I said to him on set. At some point we were at lunch. And I was like, man, I was like, I got to fan out for like a minute. Like I don't think he knew how big.
So you kept it cool
up
to that point.
Yeah. It was like, I think one of the reasons I was cast is because I kept my cool and like I was calm.
Right. I didn't want somebody freaking out.
Right. Yeah. It was like, he gave me a note and I was like, okay, cool. But then at lunch, I was like, I pulled him to the side. I was like, hey man, Scrubs was one of my favorite shows of all time. And he was like, go on. Like, did a beautiful JD impression. Yeah, it was amazing. He's a good dude. Yeah, he's dope.
Amazing. And the commercial turned out great, so I guess
It was fun. Yeah, funny enough, it wasn't, I feel like I'm gonna, maybe I'll get sued for this, but it wasn't really ranch I was drinking.
You're gonna get sued.
I'll get sued? Damn it.
Their lawyers are calling us right
Damn
now.
Damn it. I wouldn't recommend drinking ranch.
I wish that it had been, because you would have just been chugging ranch all day.
Oh my God.
Would you take 54? I don't know how to
say it. I did a bunch of things. So what, it might as well have been ranch though. It was, because it was like, what was it? I think it was yogurt.
Okay.
It was yogurt and like honey and like something. Okay. So they tried to make it sweet. But it's, yeah. I had a yogurt. It was a big yogurt.
That's good. It's still like viscous.
Yeah, it was another kind of diarrhea. It was a different, you know, slightly sweeter smelling.
Beautiful. You want to
stick potato? Yeah. Let's have these are our sponsor guys.
Oh yeah, stick potato from Honey. Yeah, Honeys R Us. I don't know.
It's Honeys.
It is. Well, I'd love to be sponsored by Boxu, which is what it is from, but I won't give them too much airtime because they haven't paid me.
Yeah, man. Y'all got to throw us some money for this.
Yeah. Get that stick potato money. But yeah, I, okay, so I, because the reason I saw it, I realized, I was like, what show did I see? I was watching Top Chef, which is one of the best. I don't know if you are a fan, but it's obviously a competition show. You're following the same chefs throughout the whole season.
And the
winner emerges as Top Chef.
Is that a Gordon Ramsay joint?
It's not, but it's on Bravo, and it's Padma Lakshmi.
Oh, yeah. She did drop the mic. That was a story.
Right, which I wasn't there for that one either, but I know
everybody says you know what happened. Yeah.
But you could tell in the thing. That's not a top secret. You could tell in the video afterward, too. It's pretty funny.
Yeah?
But she's great. She's very classy on Top Chef. She's like the most beautiful woman.
Yeah.
You know, so she does her whole announcement, and she's very critical. You know, she'll like eat the thing and be like, did you need to put that much salt in there? You know, like, it's pretty intense. Yeah, I would not want to disappoint her.
Oh, my God. Are you a good cook? Do you like to cook?
No, God. I mean, I try my best, and I have a few, you know, go-to things that are easy that I know how to make. I can follow instructions, but I don't know how to be like, this needs more turmeric or whatever people.
I love how that's the first thing. Yep.
It's very good for turmeric. Anyway, but so.
Sprinkle it on my burgers.
They had a big, you do?
Yeah.
Is that for the
burgers, veggie burgers? Reasons? I don't know. I think, you know, I used to work at Trader Joe's. That was like my hustle job in Chicago when I was doing comedy and going to school. So like that changed my life and my diet a little bit. So every time a new item came up, it was like, guys, let's try the turmeric or the chocolate covered avocado fucking. So you're like, okay.
Nice. You're on the cutting edge too.
So yeah, we got to try everything first.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Well, sorry.
CJ's back crew, you know.
So. Yeah. That's exciting stuff. I mean, I don't know if they had stick potato there.
They don't. Right, it's coming. No, I'll send them a memo.
Fair.
But also, y'all need to pay us, Trader Joe's. Pay us as well.
It's doable. They have money.
They do.
But that's okay. Lots of things. Yeah, I don't know. So that's where I saw it. But okay, so let's go to Chicago. So you went to school in Chicago.
Columbia College.
Right, and that's like big for TV and entertainment and stuff.
Yeah,
like I've heard people speak on it.
Yeah, before. Private art school. I owe them a lot of money. Y'all will get it.
This is fair. Yeah.
It's coming. put that on. Make sure this makes it to the final.
Awesome.
Columbia?
Administration building.
It's coming.
Administrative.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Yeah. But it was great. Yeah. The TV program. I was a TV student. I did the comedy studies program, studied at Second City and stuff like that.
Whoa. Oh, so it's teamed up?
Yeah, it was like it's pretty cool. So like you do I think there's a full major now. Like funny enough, when I got there, this is how old I am, I guess. But when I got there, the comedy studies major wasn't a thing. It came like 2 years after I started school, or I think a year or so. I like just missed the cutoff. But before then they offered a semester of classes just called comedy studies. So it was like you do a full 16 credits at Second City through Columbia College. So like I got to just do a full semester at Second City and then do a showcase at the end. That kind of changed my life for real. Like, cause that was like the first time I really started to comedy nerd out. Like it was, every class was like history of comedy and analysis of comedy. There was like sketch acting, sketch performing, sketch writing, physical comedy, vocal comedy. It was like all the shits. Yeah.
How do you like teach physical comedy?
Oh, it was the weirdest, greatest class I've ever. It was so weird. Yeah. My class teacher his name was Dean Evans. He's a professional clown. He travels the world. He does all these characters and does a bunch of like festivals. Just to give you like a scope of the weird things we did in that class. One assignment, he would just like open up your mind to like the other like weird parts of your brain. Like he would let that shit fly.
Cool.
Like, so one of the exercises we did, I'm trying to think of one, like physical exercise. Oh, like, you know, we did the like, you know, the classic improv game where it's like the room, you know, you go and set up the room or whatever. So it's like you open the door and then you put one thing in the room and you've tried to figure out what the room is, whether it's a playground or whether it's a office or, you know, a bathroom or something. So we did that. This is one of my favorite things we ever did. It was one of the weirdest things. he gave us an assignment to, I think we had to, what did we make? It was, we made these roses, like these handmade paper roses, and it was raining. I'll never forget this. It was raining in Chicago, and the assignment was to give somebody not associated with Second City at all a rose, like a stranger, and you had to just like live in that moment. Like, whatever you said to them, you know, whether it was just like, have a good day, I just want you to have this rose or whatever. So, yeah, it was very, very weird. It was very weird. Cool. Yeah.
That feels like really like a safe space. No, but like a safe place to kind of weird out and then
even though it was
see your limits.
Chicago. It was like, I could get robbed getting somebody's
rose.
Sure,
not handing out the rose.
Right.
But, yeah, the class and stuff.
The class
and
stuff.
Yeah. No, interesting, because I think it's Amanda Palmer, who's like this musician, artist, human, Dresden Dolls was like her band. I don't know. I wasn't even really a fan of her music. Didn't know much about her, but I read her book.
Yeah.
And her book was all about how she used to basically be a living statue for a living. Where what? She would stand out in like a traffic-y square or whatever.
Yeah.
And wear like a giant wedding dress that she bought from a thrift store. And it was huge. Like, she would stand on boxes and would, like, drape all the way to the ground. And she would hold, you know, and she had all this crazy makeup on. And she would gather a bunch of flowers that she maybe just picked elsewhere and would hand them out to people.
Wow.
And, I mean, kind of, you know, like, it's sort of weird. And she's already in a weird costume, so it kind of fits. And, like, some people would be like, ew. But I think she felt like that was, you know, sometimes she would just make people's day.
Yeah.
You know? And then that was kind of, like, it became, and the book is called The Art of Asking, because it was kind of about being, like, you know, if you're doing art and then you have to ask people to help you out. Like, there's just no other way to do it. And whether that means like receiving something they're giving out or you need money for your thing, you know, like Patreon or whatever.
Yeah,
right. Like
yeah.
That's the same idea. So I don't know. That just reminds me of that, but it feels very artistic and very performance.
Yeah. It's just like, I think it, part of the goal of it, I felt like, was to open up your mind to, the unexpected, you know, just when you're on stage or when you're writing a script, like, you never know what the other energy is going to come back to you, like the crowd or the room or like, you know what I mean? So like, fuck your plans, you know?
It's like, no, that's awesome. Yeah. Like feeling okay with rejection or whatever, failure or things like that. Did you ever feel like taking classes in this area that's sort of normally freer, you know, free for all. Was that, did you ever get sick of it?
Of,
like, kind of overanalyzing something that is normally not analyzed, I guess?
Oh, you mean like in the comedy education world?
Yeah. I always wonder about that, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly not, because you're still in it.
Yeah.
Because you would have gone, but, you know.
It was fascinating. Like, I felt like, I'm a big fan of like the study of human behavior in general. Like, I think if I didn't become a comedian, I would have been like a social science teacher or like a ecology teacher.
Cool.
Just cause I think like, I don't know, animals and like be like that kind of wild behavior, like, you know, why we do the things we do and like how we do it. So like, I feel like comedy is literally just that. You're like studying society, the trends, the, you know, what is why humans think or feel the way they feel about something, and like flipping the mirror on it or like flipping it around to be like, hey, this is what y'all are doing, or this is what y'all look like, or this is what y'all sound like, or blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it was like a whole bunch of random stuff that we learned. Like, I'm trying to think of one of the weirdest ones. Like, did you know that, I don't care if Second City, I don't know if y'all care if I am telling people this.
Yeah.
I don't care. But this is ancient secret to why comedy clubs in general run cold. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard something about this, like theater, but not.
Yeah, like theaters, and they. So what they kind of they try to do, cheat code. You'll probably notice this now that I tell y'all, but comedy clubs, a lot of theaters, they'll make the room cold, and they'll put the seats really close together, because you're more likely to laugh and respond when you're. Literally, when your body's colder, so you have to move around, you feel like you want to like pay attention, like you're in a you're packed like sardines with this group. Sure. So like when somebody laughs over there, you feel it and you're like, ha 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 ha.
Time to laugh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like amazing. Just the fact that your body's a little colder, you kind of get a little bit more like antsy. So you want to pay attention to like the story. And like, it's very weird, but it's like it's happening to your body so that your brain reacts to what's going on stage. So like, you don't even know that they're doing it. But.
Right, right.
So we cheated.
No, yeah. I mean, please. I need all the help I can get.
Yeah, yeah. So next time you do a show.
Yeah, I got a blast.
You get
the
temperature down.
Yeah,
just turn that.
Can we just move all the chairs?
One single file.
I mean,
please?
It's smart. Yeah, I do remember. Oh, like even the booths at some of these clubs are.
Yeah.
Like, you're like way on the edge of your seat, you know, so you can't like lounge back and just fall
right.
asleep. I think is what I thought at the time. But yeah, it's something about that. And then I think, yeah, maybe they did the same thing in theater or something, because I remember somebody saying. Like in the whatever Russian theater, whatever mm-hmm. people talk about. I don't really know much about theater. I just happened to take like one class in college, and
yeah.
they did the same thing. They made the seats really uncomfortable, like hard and wooden, no cushiness or whatever. And maybe the temperature was also a factor. But yeah, smart stuff.
Yeah,
gotta create the environment. Like, I mean, that's the tough thing about, you know, YouTube and Netflix and stuff is. Mm-hmm. Now, very little control of what the person is experiencing at the same time. Like,
right.
I'm on my computer sending emails while watching
right.
Netflix and like, oops, sorry, I didn't catch that last joke. So, you know,
yeah.
it's definitely such a different experience. I try to not
yeah.
judge comedians until I see them live because it's just like so different. You
mm-hmm.
know? But it's hard because, you know, when are you ever going to see a lot of people
yeah.
live, right? But
yeah, it's a whole new landscape now, man. It's a whole different thing. I'd be thinking about it like that, like, because I didn't know, when I started doing comedy, I didn't know this is what it would turn into, you know what I mean? Like, 10 years ago, I didn't know that it was on my phone. I didn't know I would have a phone that would be the key to my career,
sure.
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like that
like
wasn't
mean,
a thing.
Like, social media stuff, too?
Social media, you know,
so
YouTube, followers, like, all this stuff is... And the people, it's interesting because, like, the people who get it, just get it, and they really want to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like people, there's different types, like, tiers of people, right? There's, like, the people who are so naturally, they love holding their phone. Like, they love making videos. They love sure. looking at follower counts and, like, oh, my, these people responded to this, and I got a 30% increase for this day from, like,
right.
all, you know, brown Puerto Rican females in Missouri.
Yeah,
they love me, and what the fuck?
Yeah.
yeah. Those are my fans.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yes, and then there's other people who, like, are doing the old school route of, like, mm-hmm. still trying to book a late night spot and, like, still trying to tour. And, like, so there's so much other different ways to interpret how to do it now.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like your Instagram presence.
Sure.
Good job.
I'm doing something.
Because, I also love watching people's stories when they do this thing, you know, oh, talking, because I think it's really funny. But then, mm-hmm. and then I follow, you know, people that I find funny, so maybe it's self-selective. But I find it hard to do that myself, maybe because I'm so like, oh, God, I have to make sure, like, I look okay. And then it's like,
yeah.
oh, I didn't say it right. Well, then I guess it's all down the drain. So I've never really, but I want to do that stuff because I enjoy consuming it. Like, I also
yeah.
really like, I mean, she's just crazy prolific, but Amanda Seals,
yeah,
who does all those stories every day, and
yeah.
then she has, you know, her special, and then she has her podcast, which is
right.
also really well done.
Yeah,
so I think she's a little.
I think there's something like uh-huh. about, and I'm just starting to get into that place. I think as a stand-up, where I don't know, I kind of took a break from doing personal material, but I think there's a something really special about unfiltered thoughts. Like there's a few like famous kind of, I feel like internet shows or podcasts where it's like, yo, these people are saying all of the shit that's like the first thing that comes to their mind. Like they're really not going after, like I had a friend who talked about, a good friend of mine from the Chicago comedy scene. We talked about like how Facebook isn't real actually. You know what I mean?
Like, the interaction
or like you're it's herd behavior, it's like sheep kind of behavior, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like once you put something out there on that medium and people dissect it and take it apart and they go, you shouldn't think this, because, and they comment or whatever, blah, et cetera, et cetera. Then there's like this whole wave of like, okay, I'm just adjusting how I feel because all these people told me to feel this way. When like, okay, what if I just shut that down and like, how do I actually feel? Or like, how does life actually swim through my head? Like, and how am I processing things? So like, I think there's a whole, and what's cool about comedy now, there's this whole other section of people who like are fine with that. They're like not going by the whole, I'm super PC and I'm super like, you know, this whole thing that's happening now where everybody's so sensitive about everything. It's like, fuck that. I feel like this because I know y'all feel like this, and I'm gonna tell y'all what's happening because we're losing like what made comedy comedy, man. It's like, yo, I'm part of a sketch group where like recently we had this really dumb, I think it was like a, it wasn't officially a pedophile sketch, but it was like,
it was an unofficial pedophile
sketch. But the butt of the joke wasn't them touching kids. It was, the butt of the joke was, what if there was a, like Pedophiles Anonymous, like, that's the premise. Sure, yeah. You know what I mean?
Like we're a kind of help group or something.
Right. Like they're trying to stop. Yeah. But it's like a self-help like group or whatever. But it wasn't like we were making fun of kids. So it's like, you know, there's this big argument in the sketch group about like, yo, we shouldn't do this. Like, what about our fans? Like, people could be offended. I'm like, fuck them. It's a comedy show.
No. Yeah. They should know that it's being done in hopefully a conscious way where it's not like, oh, I mean, because...
Right.
Pedophilia is funny. It's like, listen to the joke. People do not listen to the joke.
Listen to the fucking joke. People
like to pick out the words in it.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, and it is lend itself. I mean, I think the one that I'm terrified of is Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot. And the way people think on Twitter is so vastly different. Like, Twitter, you got to have enough. You go into the moment section where it's like, these are the trending headlines. Like, this, you know, and sometimes it's cool.
Yeah.
But it does feel like everything is super, everything's on fire at all times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a news too, but Twitter is news as well.
Yeah.
Now, so it's like, you know, and it's not like, even as a person where I can agree with some of the things sometimes, because just like, it's like, I don't know if I want that in my life every day. Like, there's mm-hmm. a, you know, it's like, okay, Jamila Jamil, you know, she's on Good Place and stuff, and mm-hmm. really outspoken, great, you know, great thing she has to say. She will often tweet things and it'll become like a headline because she's really popular, and then mm-hmm. like people will chime in. But she did one that was like, it was great because it was like, oh, look, this is why sometimes when we women are like asked out by a guy and we're like, oh, we, you know, sometimes it's like, you, instead of being like, no, mm-hmm. man, you gotta be like, oh, sorry, I have a boyfriend, or like, I'm married, you know,
right.
Even if you're not. And so, and then, and that's kind of a reaction because she was saying like, well, when I was 17, somebody asked me out and like, I said no and didn't give an excuse and he punched me in the face. So it's like, oh, jeez. That's terrible. And
yeah.
like, I totally feel like there have been times where I'm like, oh, you know, I gotta be really,
right.
really nice about this. Otherwise there might be repercussions. And, but then it's like the other side of that is, I don't know if I'm gonna read that every day because I can mm-hmm. think about that on my own if yeah. I want to. But like the idea that, you know, Twitter brings up like a new issue that might like also raise issues in your past where it's like, oh yeah, I dealt with this. I like don't want to deal with it right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Even though it's really important that everybody is talking about it. But sometimes, you know, on the personal level, like on the societal level, I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But on the personal level, I'm like, okay, maybe I just want to like eat steak potato and like
right.
have a fun time and watch like YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like why, and all of them are similar in that sense, but I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I can participate in
right.
the, what fire can I hop into today?
You know? Right. Because it's
I'm
like
not able to control which fire it's going to be, and it might be a bad fire that yeah. I don't want to deal with.
Or yeah.
it might be a fun fire, you know?
I mean, I've noticed that, like, even with the, I hate talking about this shit because it's stupid, but the Jussie Smollett thing,
oh, yeah.
it was such a weird thing because there was clearly a huge section of the internet that immediately was just like, let's post about this and make it viral. And, you know, let's sure. expose like when, MAGA when, culture yeah. and like, et cetera, et cetera. This man shouldn't have been treated like this, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And then, so especially as a black person in the industry and a friend of like the LGBTQ community, it was like, of course, like, of course we're supporting him if, you know, in, through this, like, if this happened and all that stuff, right? if it happened. That was funny stuff. But then it was like, I've noticed there's this thing that happens on the internet of, like, as soon as popular public opinion changes, so does your opinion. And, like, that's so weird to me. Like, that's so weird. Like, I remember when Donald Glover dropped This Is America, and I knew a huge section of the black community that was fucking with it heavy. Like, I love what he's doing. I've never seen something like this. It was obviously one of the biggest songs of the last, like, 5 years. The video was crazy. It's like made, broke records for hip hop and a Grammy, like, in that arena. And then there was this whole other section of people on the internet that was like, fuck you, Donald Glover. Like, how you gonna comment about being a black man in America when your wife is white? Or, like, blah, 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 blah. And they say this about a lot of black men in the industry. But it was just like, y'all was fucking with Atlanta and shit. Like, what are y'all talking? If you're a fan, be a fan.
Right, right, right.
What are y'all talking about? It's like, what? It's like, bro, just pick how you feel and just feel that. And then have an honest dialogue on the internet. Like, people are so, like, I don't mind being wrong. I had a good friend of mine who's like a comedic writer, who I talked to a little bit ago. We were just talking about Facebook culture and all that stuff. And she was like, what happened to being wrong? What happened to just saying a status? And then somebody was just like, hey, bro, you shouldn't feel like this because this historically has happened, and, like, society has kind of moved past this, and you're kind of being this right now, and just explaining it and, like, having that dialogue. And then you could be like, oh, my bad, bro. You right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's like, it's got to be, no, I'm right. You can't be, you can't make mistakes. It's like, what happened to fucking mistakes?
No mistakes.
No mistakes?
No mistakes allowed anymore. But you also have to have the most extreme opinion in one way or the other, too. So there's, like, no middle. There's no room for also, like, not knowing. You have to know, and then you also can't ever go back on that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't know, though.
Terrifying. I mean, I so often don't know. I think also because, and I mean, I'm way more, I guess, with, Twitter and then Facebook comments too, right? It's like, I'm way more of a reader. So I'll read everything. I'll go back, you know, last 50, it'll be a novel by the point I'm reading it all. And I think by that point, I just feel so, like, tired. Like, I'm just exhausted. Like, oh my God, I mean, everybody makes some sense, but I feel like this is a huge discussion that needs to be had, like, you know, like, in person, and it's a lot. And then sometimes some rando will chime in and just, like, leave, you know? I'm like, I could never be the person that just, like, hops in, doesn't even read the last 200 comments, and is like, this is what I think. Okay, bye. And then leaves. And I mean, those people exist, but I'm guessing more people are lurking because you just don't even know what that count is. And then, you know, oh God, I mean, just the idea of even saying anything is like, I mean, I could be, you know what I mean? And I, even with, like, the dressy stuff, like, I was still, well, I guess I just liked him, you know, this is the power of celebrity too, which is why this kind of what became a problem. But, you know, it's just, you think you know the person because you watch him on TV. So you're like, oh, yeah, there's no way. He seems so nice. But, you know, it's just wild how, I don't know. I just get so, my brain hurts, you know, when I'm reading all that
it's
stuff.
It's a lot. It's a lot, man. But I think, man, it's all just like, it's all clickbait, you know?
Sure. Like, I mean, nobody has time to really.
No, I've seen news headlines that are questions. What are you talking about? You can't.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're stupid, like.
What?
Blog type, you know, like,
it's like literally a blog,
but it's spoken in like a weird colloquial
it's like, is Trump did he rape blah blah blah, and you're like,
and with like three question marks, and you're like, that's not a real sentence. You're like,
bro, you're a news organization.
It's like top trending sometimes, these things. Yeah,
it's clickbait. It's fucking clickbait.
Yeah,
yo.
It's, oh man,
but hey, that runs the world. It's consumerism, capitalism,
clicks per mill or whatever that terminology is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that, but
hey, overall, that gives us more to talk about. It's more fuel for comedians
overall. Yeah, I mean, I like what you're saying about, you know, I think I've felt super just uncreative and not been able to write a lot mm-hmm. of stand-up because of how, you know, how I'm just kind of more like, I guess I got to read everybody's thing first before mm-hmm. I write anything. I think that's where I'm at and have been for a while, which has been bad because then I don't really
write compelling things. You know what you should do? Things. And I've been doing this for a week and a half, and it's changing my life in many ways. It's a book. I recommend this to anybody out there who's an artist. You ever heard of The Artist's Way?
I do have it, actually.
Do you have
it's
it?
It's like, have I you done it? Started it, but I didn't continue.
Do it.
Yeah.
You gotta okay. do it. So, like, I had no, I heard about it. Like, I heard about the, you know, the reputation of it.
Yeah. Morning Pages.
Yeah. Morning Pages. Yo, I'm in it, though. I'm in, like, yeah? week two. Awesome. And I'm, like, in the Morning Pages.
Okay.
Like, Morning Pages
get
are
yeah.
my shit right
nice.
Now.
Congrats.
So, yeah, Morning Pages and The Artist's Date. But, yeah, literally, so. I'm doing it with a friend of mine. So it's like he wanted to do it. And it's a 12-week thing. And he did it with me because he knew I had a whole big thing last year where I was just like felt sick of the industry and like I just needed a break. So now that I'm back, he was like, bro, you should do this with me. So we've been doing it together. And yeah, it's like it what it does if you commit to it. And he just needed somebody to do it with him to actually commit to the exercises in the book. You know what I mean? Because it's a book where you can, you know, do it in class and like you're supposed to do it with a group to make sure you actually do the shit.
Accountability.
Right. Accountability. But yeah, so like I've literally only been doing it for about a week and a half mm-hmm. and it, how far did you get? Like, do you know about the beginnings about just being unblocked?
Yeah. I think it was like I dipped my toe.
In, yeah. So okay. Really you got like much, the yeah. introduction. You're like, what the fuck? She's talking about it's God. Like, what is, I don't know. Okay. You lost me.
There, yeah. I had to, I mean, she, you know, she allowed for, you know, sub in, you know, something else that represented like a higher port.
Right.
Being, or, I don't know. Anyway, but yeah.
Yeah. It's very
I'll
weird.
I'll get back into it. I think I was just like, it wasn't at the right time for me.
Yeah.
Maybe I got
well, when you're ready, I wasn't expecting it, but it there's a first few chapters where it talks about being unblocked and like how a lot of artists they don't know they're blocked. And I think I didn't know I was. Like when I got kind of sick last year and I was just like my mental health wasn't there and I wasn't really accepting who I was as an artist. And I think that's what like I needed to take a break. Like I dipped out of comedy for like 3 months.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, fuck all this shit.
Yeah.
I'm going home. I went like back to Milwaukee to my family.
Okay. Great.
But yeah, so like this, the way the book works and like doing the morning pages, it's literally, you know, you get up every morning. Yeah, you know what it is. But it's like you get up every morning, you write 3 pages mm-hmm. of just stream of consciousness. And it really like, I feel like I only used to write when, like this is the magic that it does. I feel like at least for me in my experience is like, I would only open that valve of like draining my, whatever's happening within me, like my overwhelmed, overworked, overtired, like all that stuff that you don't really sift through unless you meditate or pray or whatever, however you get that out of yourself or you write. I would only do that when I had to, like when I was freaking out, like what, like I've had several mental breakdowns since moving to Los Angeles. Dear God, this place is crazy. yes.
Good to hear.
As you know. Hey, kids.
We're all in this together.
Come on, join us. The water's fine.
Traffic's good.
But the traffic is, yeah.
It's like
it's great.
Manageable.
Yeah, this taco trucks is fine. But yeah, so like this, when you write every day, it's like you drain that valve every day instead of draining it whenever I was about to have a mental breakdown. So like, yeah, and it's like unlocked. It got me by like the... I don't even know. Like the fifth day, I realized why I got into comedy. Like I started writing about that. And I was like, oh shit, I forgot about this. Like how I used to feel like, you know, 10 years ago. So yeah, I don't know. I would say do it.
Yeah.
Pick
what
a friend.
Endorsement.
Should very, yeah. Pay us. Yeah. Pay me. Julia Cameron. Pay me.
Oh, is she still around?
I think she's alive.
She's alive? Okay, good.
I think
good.
So.
Way to go, Julia.
That would suck if she. Yeah,
I mean.
RIP. Damn, yeah. We got to look that up.
I mean, I just know it was it's an older book.
Because
I got like some anniversary version.
Yeah, I think it came out in like 92
okay.
or
yeah.
something like that. 95.
She probably died. No, just
yeah, she was old when it came out.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
If you published a book in 92, you're definitely dead by 2019. What year are we? Yeah. those are the rules. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so then your break from comedy and entertainment.
Yeah.
What was that like, you know? Want to walk through it?
Yeah.
Because I feel like no matter what field, that we get burned out, you know?
Yeah. You got to. Yeah. I think a lot of it was I had been doing comedy for like 10 years straight. Like I started when I was 15, like 14, 15 doing stand up, and like I just never stopped. It was like I knew where I wanted to be. I had a vision of where, you know, the kind of things I wanted to do. And it's when I felt like, oh, like I hit this wall where it was just like, I didn't even bomb this show. It was like kind of I just had a bad set where it was like, I felt like I was being vulnerable. Like I wrote a joke where I was like, this is me. And I did it first. I was like, I feel like this joke is the closest to who I am. And I have to do this first in my set. And the crowd was like, not fucking with it. And I was like, that was the most vulnerable version of me. So when they don't accept that, you go, like, I just went into kind of a dark hole of like, okay, what the fuck am I doing wrong? Or like, is who I am just not enough? So during my break, it was just like, and especially moving to Los Angeles, it's such a town where like everything just goes. It's like a fucking, it's a carnival and it never closes. You know what I mean? It's like, you ain't ready? Like, okay, move out the way. They ready to shoot at these targets and win. You know, move out the way. They ready.
Plenty of people lined up.
Right. Yeah. It's like, out the way. So, but you don't realize you can fucking take a break. Like, you can, the carnival is always open. Just like, it's always going to be there.
Like, realize you didn't have to keep getting washed through this flow of like, I don't know. I'm imagining just like a current.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you compare yourself to people and, you know, you're like, oh, how's this person doing this? And I'm not, and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I just knew I had to, like, not do anything. Like, I didn't perform. And the only thing I did when I was on my break was, I asked myself, like, I took this, like, meditative walk throughout Hollywood, and, like, the Hollywood Hills, and just was like, I'm just going to be with myself and my thoughts and, like, God. And just see what is happening. And I think I got to the point where at the end of one, like my walk, I was like, okay, what about this doesn't make me feel good? And then what about this do I love? Like, why have I been doing this to myself for this long if I feel this sick? Mm-hmm. And then I realized, like, I kind of had this day where I had to, I wrote down all of my thoughts on like index cards, and they're sitting somewhere. Maybe I'll post them sometime, but it was all just like things that I knew, and I didn't know why I thought those things, but I was like, I got to write this down, and I had to physicalize it. So I wrote like if being famous is what this is, then I don't want that. If I'm only paying attention to, If I'm always constantly scrutinized by stepping outside of the box of the Black community, then I don't want that. Like, it was just all these things that I was just like, I need to unblock whatever. I was blocked. Julia Cameron. Yes.
May she rest in peace.
Yeah, if she's dead. Yeah. If you're alive, I love you.
Yeah. Same idea.
So bad. She's going to find this.
Good.
This, yeah.
Yeah, it's for her.
This is for her. We'll dedicate this one to her. Totally. Whether she's alive or dead. Julia Cameron. This one's for you. But yeah, then I just kind of like read them out to myself, and I realized like the only thing that I love doing that didn't stress me out was writing. So I think I had to move all the things that I do in my head of like producer, actor, writer, stand up, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, bam, I'm a writer. Wow. Like above everything else.
Cool.
Like that's the one thing that doesn't stress me the fuck out. So.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't know. Have you ever done that or like needed to, like, get out of the industry for a little bit? Or, like, have you ever had that?
I guess. I mean, I definitely feel that way a lot.
Yeah.
All the time. No, but I've never. Yeah, every day.
And we do, though.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, like, quit, maybe. Yeah, I think, like, what it is, too, is, you know, I've never been, like, I just, because, you know, I started young as well. I started, like, in 16, but it was kind of, you know, just like a hobby. It was like, oh, mm-hmm. well, I used to play basketball and now I do comedy, you know, like, yeah. none are serious.
Me too. That's how it happens.
Yes, exactly.
You start in basketball.
You start in basketball.
All the greats.
Start young, but in basketball. Yes, exactly.
If you haven't started basketball.
And then, you know, if you get too good at basketball, you might. Yeah.
You're not going to make it as a comic.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're not going to make it, exactly.
LeBron James just,
I know,
he left us.
Comic. He failed really... comic, I know. He might circle back.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be back.
He was in Amy Schumer's
True.
Movie.
LeBron James, right? Netflix
yeah.
special.
Yeah.
2020.
I mean, not far-fetched. But, yeah, like, actually more likely
Probably.
Than anywhere I will get near that. You know? So there's that. But, so, yeah, I don't know. So I think, but I was never... Because I did it, I think when I was most excited about stand-up specifically, mm-hmm. I was in college and I was not able to do it full force. And then it kind of died down after that. And now I'm here where it's like, Sarah, you could do it all the time if you want to do it. I'm like, not all the time. You know,
yeah.
I definitely have never done it all day, every day, sort of in mm-hmm. the way that I feel like people are at least say they do. I don't know because I'm not there to witness it. But, you
right.
know, in the way that like... Well, in New York City, they do 8 or 9 sets a night. So
right.
if you're not doing that, you're behind, honey.
Yeah.
You know, I obviously could never reach that amount. So maybe I haven't burnt out because I haven't even gone that like,
yeah.
hardcore into it. But I mean, entertainment at large or whatever, this whole thing at large, like, yes, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Always confused and like, what? Am I in the right thing? I mean, there's
yeah.
always just the conventional, like, well, you see that other people with steady jobs have something to go to every day and
right.
have, like, a steady paycheck. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, this doesn't have that. So it feels, like, a little unstable and a little scary.
Yeah.
So that's what's kind of scary. But then at the same time, I've never been, like, a, oh, I need to know what I'm doing in 5 years kind of person.
Right, right.
I don't think so. Maybe it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do agree that, like, taking a break from it is... huge, and I haven't really done that yet since
mm-hmm.
I moved out here, but
yeah,
I have the luxury of like my family's out here,
mm-hmm.
so
oh, that's
it
good.
Still at least feels like home sometimes.
Yeah,
and, like,
I need that.
That's so different. You know, I know it would be different if I had moved to New York or something and it was just like full throttle all the time, go
right.
to the bodega. What do they say?
That's what they say.
Yeah,
that's
okay,
it.
Good.
Yeah, sure.
I can live there now. yeah, I mean, so I was inspired. I remember when you posted about that, and it just, you know, it seemed very, like, mature and level-headed and, like, healthy.
Yeah, it was, uh-huh. yeah, I think, you know, it Dave Chappelle took a 7-year break, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and came back and made
of course.
$60 million, like, you know what I mean? Like, why
that was
wouldn't
a good
you?
Investment of time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do that?
That is the ultimate thing. And I notice, like, people don't realize... When, you know, when people are out of sight, they're out of mind, so they don't realize that people did maybe have things where they weren't churning out crazy
mm-hmm.
things all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even there's a moment where I remember, like, Donald Glover in between maybe, I mean, he was doing music, obviously, but he wasn't
mm-hmm.
as huge as he is now, and then it was, like, maybe after he had left Community or maybe tail end of Community, it's like, yeah, sure, he wasn't making Atlanta yet.
Right.
And, like, maybe people wouldn't have been able to guess that he would have been the mega giant he is now, you
mm-hmm.
know? But, like...
I knew, though.
Right. I mean, yes.
He had,
obviously,
yeah.
the true
he had his
fans
core fans.
Knew. Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. But, you know, like, now everybody's like, oh, yeah, whole time, on board, all the way, loved him the whole time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just, that could happen
yeah.
for anybody. Right?
That's
just
the journey,
like,
though.
Yeah,
it's
the whole
like...
time I knew what I was doing, but then in the moment, like, I don't know what the hell I was doing.
But nobody knows what they're doing.
Yeah, nobody does.
That's what you learn. I've learned that very quickly, and you have to keep reminding yourself that of, like, because
sure.
I have... I'm sure maybe you relate, but I have, like, social anxiety.
Yes, I can.
Yeah? Jesus,
yeah, I told
man.
You I don't know how to deal with humans, let alone celebrities.
Yeah, oh,
so
yeah.
That's kind of in that box.
Because it's very weird, but one of the things I had to realize, like, in my head, I don't know how it works for you, but, like, I have this thing where I, for a long time during, like, my childhood and young adulthood, I thought there was a right way to do something. Like, it feels like socially, it was like, how am I supposed to stand in this line? Like, people are looking at me. Am I supposed to stand in this line or is it, no, the coffee line, it's
they
over
know,
there.
No, I don't know.
Oh, no, they think I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I should go home. I got to kill myself.
Yeah, I shouldn't have got out of bed, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, that's what you feel like. But then I had to realize, like, there's no right way to do anything. There are, like, the thing about LA, and I'm like, this is the keys, bro. I'm going to give you all the keys.
I'm so ready.
This is the
yes.
fucking
you
keys.
You have a key around your neck, so.
I got the key, bro.
So you've at least got one.
I got the key. And I realized this in Las Vegas with my brother. But this is a concept that I think works, and you could take this with you, ladies and gents. People think Seinfeld has this metaphor about L.A. and the industry being a line. There's a long line, right, to get to the fucking door of Hollywood or the club or whatever this is, right?
The golden doors of Hollywood.
The Wizard of Oz or whatever. And people wait in the fucking line. Right, because they think, oh, okay, I can't stop, I can't take a break, because if I stop, then people are gonna forget about me, and I gotta go back and get to the end of the line, right? So Seinfeld has this, you know, concept about like you gotta keep inching forward, or people gonna skip you or whatever. What I realized, literally at this club in Vegas with my brother, is there was a literal line to get in this. I think it was one of the biggest nightclubs, like Dreas or some shit. Wiz Khalifa was playing. Oh man, it was crazy. Everybody who needed to get laid was there. You wanted to be in there.
You gotta be in that line.
You gotta get in there. And my brother, there was a long ass line. Our friends were like already inside. And my brother's like got the balls of a fucking G. Like just walked up. He was like, man, we ain't standing in this line. This is bullshit. We gonna get up in here. Walked up, skipped the entire line.
I would faint on the spot.
Skipped the entire 50, 70, I don't know how many people, 80 people. Yeah. Walked in front of everybody. Just walked up to the security guard. I was like, hey, bro, we got peoples in there, man. They waiting on us. So just go ahead and do your thing, bro. We already late. They in there waiting on us. And he was like, who are you? And he was like,
I love it already, yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm standing behind him like, what the fuck? I ain't that famous. What's it? I'm like,
I'm working on it.
They don't know
it,
who me. They don't know who I am, Jeff. Don't do this. no, come on. No. We're going to get tased. Big dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my brother didn't move at all. He didn't flinch.
No. Yeah.
He was like, bro, they waiting on us. You kind of wasting our time right now. Yeah. You can call your manager. You can do whatever you want to do. But yeah, we supposed to be in there. They already waiting on us, bro. And this guy just is like, call the manager. All right, yeah. Literally made him feel like he was wasting our time.
Totally.
Like, no. We supposed to be in there. Take two steps to your left so we can do what we supposed to be here to do. That's where we meant to be. Like, move out the way. Literally, the same story happens with my boy Denny. My boy Denny, y'all probably know Denny Love. He's a comedian. I don't know if you know him. He's on the Hulu show right now. He's got picked up for a series regular role. It's going to be amazing. The Alaska.
Okay.
But literally, he told me a very similar story. He ended up at Stevie Wonder's like son's birthday party at his mansion.
Stevie Jr.
Stevie Jr.'s brother.
Yeah,
By not invitation, just like, saw a party was happening, walked up and was like, hey, bro, he made up a name or something. He was like, yeah, Charles Johnson, man. You know, it's me, Charles Johnson. Come on, bro. You know I'm supposed to be up in there. The dude was like, yeah, we don't see you on the list, man. We don't see you on here. I don't have a Charles Johnson. And he's like, wow, they just texted me. They said to come to the back. Like, yeah, bro, something is messed up. Like, I don't know who you got to talk to, but yeah, something's messed up, bro.
Right, just no flinching.
Doesn't flinch.
Yeah.
Had his girl with him. Was like, yeah, like, we supposed to be up in there right now. Some lady who just saw he meant business came to the front and was like, oh, yeah, he's part of the guys.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be in the back. Yeah, I remember you. Made up a whole story, like, whole shit. Like, yeah, I've seen,
yeah
I course. Remember Charles.
Charles Johnson.
Come on, move.
Call Mike Charles.
So it's like, you gotta know your worth. Like,
sure.
I think, you know, like, because they will send you to the back of the line if you don't act like you belong there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so.
And like, oftentimes communication isn't as, you know, great as it should be, if that makes sense. Like, I think I was totally the same way as many are, you know. You're like, well, everybody's got figured out. So obviously, if I lie, somebody will know. And then they will send me to jail, you know.
Like, and I'll immediately go.
I will definitely be convicted of murder. But yeah, but the fact that, like, you know, nobody knows what they're doing, so you can kind of get away with stuff. And, like, it's crazy. I love hearing those stories because that's such the opposite of what I naturally do. But I feel like I'm learning, you know, and it's not even like I'm doing the...
I mean, I'm not saying lie, but I am but, saying, you know, believe in yourself.
Yeah, believe in yourself. Believe in Charles Johnson.
Believe in the power of Charles Johnson. You must have the power of Charles Johnson.
That name, like, if you just say that name anywhere, it gets you places.
You in. Right?
I mean, because I used to do the thing, too, where, like, you know, if they ask for your credits, I'm like, ah, you don't have to say anything. You know, or, like, things like that, because I have a couple credits, but I would always feel like, well, I was such a small part of that, or, you know, I would just, I did Last Comic Standing, but I got cut right away, so, you know, I didn't really make that far, man, right? But, yeah, no, I mean, like, that's still, I'm like, so... Then I learned, oh, but it gives you legitimacy, and it's true, and other people are saying things that
people are using crazy. The ridiculous amount of credit. Some people are extras. Some people are catering.
Like, I was on Barry.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, I once opened the bathroom door for Arsenio Hall. So I really opened for Arsenio Hall. You can say that.
That's right, because that's the same Charles Johnson. You know?
It's Charles Johnson.
That much of a stretch. So
this is a Charles Johnson watching us right now, like, damn, I could be famous.
Yeah. There, I mean, listen, Chucky Johnson. And so I think it is so true. Like, one of my friends that I had on this podcast before, he's just the best at that.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, being bold and, like,
you gotta be.
Also, if you, you know, dress a certain way, people don't know, right? It's like, oh, well, I mean, he's dressed up important, so maybe he's important.
Yeah.
And I've probably been on the other end of that, where I'm like, right this way, sir. You know?
You just, if you propel that, it's like people can feel it off of you. I don't know how that works. It's like energy, you know, universe type.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very into, like, you know.
Stuff we can't see.
Kind yeah. of. It's like the change in your mindset. Like, once you change how you think and, like, how your body feels about yourself and, like, you know. It's corny, but it's like meditation and yoga and all that, like, changing, you know, the it's a constant practice and a process of, like, how you feel about yourself, and that projects to the room you're in, or, like, the environment that you're in. Like, people can tell, even when you're on stage as a stand-up, it's like, sometimes, especially with black crowds, like, and I've just noticed that, like, there could be the least funniest nigga on stage, like, least not even funny. But he believe in himself, though. So the audience can feel him.
Presence is so important.
Yeah. Like, they'll be like, I'll literally be watching the back like, he ain't said one joke.
Right.
He got no jokes. But the audience like, ah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Then
that's a funny way to say that.
Like, what? He ain't got no jokes.
Right. Oh, that's so real.
That's so true, though. But hey, power to him. That's half.
Sure. I mean, that's how you skip that line.
Skip that line.
I mean, that is... That's so crazy. Did you have a moment where you realized that, and, you know, where maybe you were like, oh, this seems like bullshit, but then I tried it and then this result happened?
Oh, like a specific learning. I think I heard it my whole, like, half your life you hear the corny, like, believe in yourself, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But I think, I'm trying to think of the first time I legit tried it. Oh, there was, this is horrible that I'm gonna tell this story, but, no, it was really like, it was like a Hollywood club atmosphere where I've never been a huge drinker, or, like, I just started smoking, like, a few years ago. So I've never was, like, a big partier. But I went to this club one time, and, like, first of all, I had friends with me who were women. So you gonna get into the club because you are one of, you know, you're not overcrowding with having too many guys with you. But it was like, I was in there and I realized, like, I was just having a good time. Like, I didn't care what everybody thought about me. And I think maybe it was because I was a combination of drunk and high, but I was like, fuck everybody, I don't care what you, like, because I've been you know, we live
you're not, like, scoping around,
you're not,
like,
checking,
oh no, you know what, how do I, what's happening?
Yeah. Cause, like, that social anxiety has been with me my whole life. So, like, to let go of that and just, like, I think what the shift that had to happen with me was, like, it's literally that. It's like people can say so many different ways, don't care what people think about you, don't care, like don't care. But once you have to hear it in your own voice, like you have to be taught certain things to switch how you think. And you have to come to that epiphany yourself. So like, I don't know what it was that night, but it was just like, I don't know what I was wearing or something, but I had some, I don't know what the fuck. I was like buying drinks for my friends. And we were just like dancing, and I was, people also don't dance in LA, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like,
why not?
Why would you come to the club if you're not?
I just thought I was going to the wrong places.
People just people don't, just people like are like,
be seen. Yeah, I'm if just they dance pretty too much, and they're gonna move and there'll be a blur and you can't see them. So you gotta be stationary.
Yeah, or you'll sweat too much or whatever.
Their very expensive t-shirt may not be seen.
Yeah. Just walking in a club like this.
Yeah, just like.
Oh, man, that's Gucci. That's right there. Is that Gucci? Oh, wow. That's so Gucci. That's
so light. Yeah, they gotta say light. It like it.
Gucci. Is that Gucci? Wow, that is. That's Gucci right there. Casual. Also, nice. Fuck you, Gucci. But yeah, so it was like I was just chilling, like just having a good time. I didn't care what anybody thought. Like, I just didn't. And literally, I overheard these two dudes talking about me. They was like, I don't know, bro. I don't know. I think he a rapper. Yeah, he's got to be a rapper. I don't know. And I was like, I am not, but thank you, motherfuckers.
He's like, they're like, he cannot have that kind of confidence without being also a rapper.
There's no way.
There's no way.
He's a tiny black man.
Yeah.
He's too small. There's no way.
That's great. What a fun thing to overhear, you know?
Yeah.
That's like great. You know, you never know how many, I mean, maybe people have said it before, but you're
yeah, literally
alert because you didn't care what people were thinking.
Yeah, that's man.
Great. I love that because I also, you know, somebody was saying that they apply that to sort of their business thing where they, you know, when they send emails, maybe they're not so gushing over the other person. If it's like the first cold email, they're like, oh, here's like a half compliment. And then, you know, maybe I'll respond 3 days later, you know, how they're being kind of hard to get.
Yeah.
And the same thing. Well, I noticed one time I was talking to someone and I feel like whenever I talk to somebody, you know, I'm all about making eye contact and be like, oh,
right.
Making noises to make them know I'm listening to them. And
yeah,
you know, because I am engaged, but, and that's just when in conversation talking to friends or whatever. But then sometimes, one time I noticed, I think I was talking to one person who I like definitely know is like a bad person. Like, I don't know how to describe this, but I think
just a shitty person.
I'm like, I don't like that person. There's like nothing that I feel like I don't need to get his approval. Like it's not even neutral. It's like negative, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, he's talking to me. I just am not even going to look. And it's just going to be like, okay, I'm trying to get out of here. I'm not making eye contact and like not being myself at all. And I noticed like he was being like way more like, oh, but, you know, let me get your attention because here's this other thing that I was going to say, you know? And yeah. Obviously I just like, oh, wow. I've never really had that interaction with anybody because I've always been super like, yes, please tell me more. And like, attentive. Then they can be kind of like, oh, well then I got her.
Right.
I don't need to talk to her very respectfully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and not that I like cared about that, but it was a good learning interaction. I'm like, oh, I guess maybe a little less tryhards here.
Yeah,
a little more respect, but I know
like one
not,
of the
not nice, but
well, yeah, fuck, I don't fuck it.
But yeah,
but one of the other books I read recently that when I took my break, I just read a bunch of books, and one of them I just finished was The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. You heard of that book?
No, but
it's a really good book. It's really famous
title.
Now. But yeah, it's great. Like, I mean, it's just like the premise, but it goes really deep into like why not giving a fuck is the best choice you could ever make in your life. Like, constantly. Like, because when you care too much about what people think, it's a weird thing that happens. It's like they respect you less because it's like people who put up a funny tweet that was risque, and then people are like, whoa, that was horrible. And he's like, or she's like, well, fucking, all right, sorry, I'll take it down, sorry. Then it's like, okay, no, well, nah, no, I don't respect your ass because you just switched up your whole shit. Just defend what you said. What did you mean? What did, you know? So it's like, I think that was a big step I had to take in my life. Like, I think for doing stand-up, it was like, oh, I care too much that y'all didn't fuck with that joke.
Sure, okay.
But I know now. I know, like, oh, even if y'all don't fuck with that joke, I'm a funny ass comedian, and if you don't get me, you're going to soon.
Cool.
Like, if it take y'all a few years to understand me, fine. Yeah. But psh, I'm gonna keep pushing. Nice. So, yeah, I don't know. It took me a long time to get there, but it's like, yeah, I didn't even know like social anxiety was a thing or that, like, you know. And as a kid growing up in like the 90s and all that stuff, I didn't know that's what, you know, we didn't talk about that kind of stuff back then. But yeah, now it's like kind of a...
The language wasn't really there.
Right. I didn't know that's what was happening.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, middle school sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Or, yeah, just like constantly looking over my shoulder.
I was like, yeah. Terrified of dances.
Did you watch 8th grade?
That what? Is that a show?
That movie that was like 8th grade and was like the 8th graders.
No,
It's actually Bo Burnham directed and wrote it and stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, whatever. So it's kind of 8th graders. It's the present day currently. Mm-hmm. But it just brings you back to like middle school, man. And like worrying about everything.
Yeah.
And we didn't even have social media, but like.
Right. Being back like, then. Oh, well, there was like, I feel like when I was in 8th grade, there was Facebook and MySpace.
I guess I did. I wasn't allowed to have those. So I didn't. Maybe for the best. Great.
Right.
Good job, parents. But yeah, I was like, oh man, I remember always loving to, I didn't do comedy at that, obviously, at that age, but there was comedy sports, which was like an improv thing, and I used to love to go because I was such a fan.
Yeah, I did comedy
and
sports.
And everybody, oh really, no way. Yeah, I loved watching, and like everybody in the high school was like so funny, but I would go and like my mom would drop me off and I would just be like, oh, I hope like my friend's going to come. And you know, just like that moment where you're alone waiting for your friend, you're just like, I'm the biggest loser in the world, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. You're totally fine, but it's just like, oh man, that stress is like greater than anything I have these days.
I'm always like thinking, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah, yeah.
And where are my hands supposed to go?
Just like the clothing.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid. Oh yeah, when I'm a basketball player. When I first started, you know, just like meeting new people on new teams, and you're just like, oh, they're already friends, and I'm the newbie coming in.
Yeah,
it's very stressful, but. My mom had dressed me in like a sweatpants and sweat outfit because she was like, basketball, that's what people wear.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And it's like summertime here, so it's hot.
Oh,
and,
no.
But I had a t-shirt on underneath that I didn't really like because it said something like, it just said something weird, and I think it was like a weird translation thing that was probably originally Chinese. Who knows? There's a panda on it, but it had nothing to do with pandas.
Oh, my God.
So I was just like so embarrassed with that shirt that I just left the whole sweat thing on, and everybody's like, oh, Sarah, do you need to, like, first practice with the gym? Sarah, you want to take off these sweating bullets? And are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm fine.
I'm
just
fine.
Like putting yourself through hell because I'm, like, totally unreasonable.
Oh, my God. I've done, like,
you know,
ridiculous things just to like not be in the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I always feel like I'm in the way,
right.
And it's like
space.
Yeah, it's like you gotta own your space, you gotta own
taking
your body
space, apparently that's like a new language.
Yeah,
you never I had the most incredible moment. I was like sitting watching a comedy show and I had put my stuff down, so I was sitting here, and then this like couple came who I'm friends with, the wife and she's a comedian, and then her husband, and then she sat here, and then he sat, like, at the end of the table, moved his chair, so he sat there. And I was like, oh, I mean, I can move here if you want. I can move here, because you can, you know, I was, like, really stressed, like, oh, my God, I can't believe you had to move to the end of the table. And he was like, hey, I can't imagine you would ever take up too much space. Wow, I see why you married him. That's a very, like, thoughtful thing to say. I was like, oh.
That's
I guess
nice.
I can just exist.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, what a revelation.
It is. You need that.
You do.
Sometimes, you know, I feel like you don't know how you move through the world sometimes. Like, you know, it's like self-awareness. And if you're too self-aware, I feel like maybe people like us are like overly self-aware of like everything. And I think sometimes when you hear from somebody that's close to you or even somebody who just met you, they're like, you do this thing. And it's really cool when you do this thing and you didn't even know you were doing it.
Sure.
So you're like, you know, you can't, it's good to just hear that sometimes. Like sometimes I realize somebody will say something like that about me and I'm like, oh shit, I didn't know I did that. But like now I started to realize that I can give that to more people too. Like, you know, compliments go a long way and you never know when you're going to say somebody, or even constructive criticism. Like I've had friendships where it's like, damn, bro, like, if we really friends, you would have just told me some shit. Like, just tell me and like help me get to be a better person or a better friend or whatever. Like say that, you know, people get so, I got to be nice all the time and I can only blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. Yeah. It's like, just be real.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like that. Like it is valuable often when, cause I feel like I get comfortable. I see the same people all the time and,
mm-hmm.
and then it's like, we're fine. We all get each other's mind, you know, but then sometimes you'll have somebody say something that nobody could pick up on because it's just like, we're so used to seeing everyone and the same people and kind of an idea of the person. So you're not really like looking for those new things or
right.
even, I don't know. So that is valuable.
Yeah.
It's indeed valuable.
For sure. I think so. Incredible. And even just like, you know, asking how they're doing and all that stuff. I love doing that at like stores.
Yeah.
Like I feel like people don't, it catches them off guard. Like when you ask the cashier, like, hey, how are you doing? Oh,
especially how's your day? You do it like that. And you
know, well, I don't know about that. I, like, just stop the whole,
hey, guys. Yeah, you like touch their hand. Hey,
give me 5 minutes here. How are you doing? But yeah, sometimes it's like it wakes them up. They're like, oh yeah, fucking, oh yeah, I'm a person.
Right, right. Especially like grocer or like something where you're doing repetition. Or
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Wow.
It's weird.
Was at Trader Joe's, did they make you ask people how their day is?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Yeah, because I remember reading that recently.
Yeah.
I don't go to Trader Joe's out here too often because it's not like the closest thing.
So yeah. But it was a good job. It was a good job. But yeah, it was, that's part of it. And it does like some, it's very funny because that's like supposed to be, that's part of their brand, right? Is like having these fun, kooky kind of cashiers and crew members. Yeah, it's like very flowy. I got a handlebar mustache and I'm going to
put the
bagels in your bag and whatever.
Handlebar bagel guy.
Yeah. We all know Chuck.
Right. One at every store. There's Chuck Johnson.
Yeah, it's Chuck Johnson. He's back feeding the kids. But yeah, it's funny too because some customers wouldn't fuck with it. Like they would just be like, or like just not answer.
I don't even know.
Like I'll just be like, hey, how's your day going? And they'll just be like,
oh god.
And then just look back at their phone and I'm like, oh wow,
yeah,
okay. You're dead.
That's
inside.
A no.
You're gone.
They're gone forever.
You're gone. No, I don't need to.
R.I.P.
Deal with you. They got Julia Cameron.
Yeah, that's how she died. She just didn't answer at one of the Trader Joe's. Had to happen. Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty full circle thing. But okay, so this is, you know, we're winding down.
Cool.
If that's cool. But last final thing to talk about.
Sure.
We've talked about a lot of, you know, really good stuff, but do you have like a go-to thing these days that kind of helps you keep a positive outlook?
Yeah, positive outlook. I think a lot of the time, I feel like there's a way that you have to tap into the present. Like a lot of the books and stuff I've been reading and like shifting my focus in life. Like I'm a very anxious person, like we've been talking about. So like you're constantly worried about the future and like what could go wrong. And I think one thing that constantly calms me down and just makes me like happy is just being like, okay, fuck whatever is in the far distance. Like just cut that off. It doesn't exist. I don't know what's out there. And just looking at what's right here, like just remembering life is like, it's right next to you. It's, cool. You're in it. Don't worry about the past, don't worry about the future, you know? So like, I think even, I don't know, like even when, I remember my like car broke down. I was trying to like change my car battery a couple months ago. And I was like trying to do it myself.
Oh, God.
I was like trying to be a man. Like I was trying to be like my grandpa.
Right, right, right. Take me back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, I'm like, I can do it. I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
and it rained on me, and I was like crying to the heavens. It's horrible. But I realized, what am I going to do about it? I just have to do what's next. Like, I think people forget, you know, when you get overwhelmed, it's like, just look at what's literally right next to you, like, and appreciate it. Mm. Like, just be grateful for that. Like, you know, you're constantly wondering, like, why God hasn't blessed me with this car and this, you know, all job. Or it's like, bro, just appreciate the job you're at. Like, you know, people, I don't know. It's like, it's that simple.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have a thing?
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, no one's ever asked me.
Suckers. Those selfish bastards. It's been 12 episodes.
Maybe.
Call everybody out. Who was on the show? Yeah. Let's call them out. Start another podcast.
I mean, maybe they have, and it's just, you know, it was just a different time. You know, who knows? Whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it was off the record.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess depends. I think it always switches. Like, sometimes it used to be like music, and then, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I'll try to go outside. I mean, especially now that it's sunny, definitely it's going outside, and like,
yeah,
so lucky to be in a place where it is sunny a lot, because obviously not always the case. But I do like the present thing, because I was kind of, well, I don't really do it anymore, but I should. Meditation, and that's all about like,
yeah,
you know, focusing on like what's happening right now. And that does help in like, you know, especially in times when you're like, well, I can't really leave where I'm at right now, or like stop and go on a jog or whatever people do. But
yeah,
so I totally understand that. But I think like going, what I like to do, because I'm really boxed in here, like I work from home a lot, and then it's like all day always inside and in the same place that you slept and then you ate,
right?
So I like to check the mail and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like, oh, I have a purpose. Maybe there'll be something cool in there, but probably it'll just be me like getting junk mail and throwing it away, and then like walking back upstairs and be like, I did something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there's that. It's a combination of like movement and outside environment change.
Yeah.
That's my thing these days. Just checking the mail.
Checking the mail, man. Sometimes you got to check that mail. Don't let it check you, you know?
No, don't you dare.
People forget that.
That's scary thoughts. People forget that. Yeah, so. Don't let it turn it on you. Yeah. Well, yeah, man. So much wisdom.
I had a great time.
I knew you'd be great.
I had a great time. I'm a huge fan of stick potatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw us some money because this is unfair. We are endorsing your ass.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, my God.
Crunch in there.
That was great.
Yeah. Potato. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.